This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
دع الأيام تفعل ما تشاء وطب نفسا إذا حكم القضاء ولا تجزع لحادثة الليالي فما لحوادث الدنيا بقاء.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we seek His help. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and the consequences of our actions. Indeed, whomever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whomever Allah misguides, none can guide him to the straight path. I bear witness and I testify that there is no God except for Allah jalla jalaluhu and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His final prophet and most perfect worshipper. As to what follows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran when He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O you who believe, be conscious of Allah, the way that it is befitting that you be conscious of Him, and do not die except in the state of submission. Dear Muslims, today, 100 years ago, one of the greatest political disasters of the last 14 and a half centuries occurred. Literally today, 100 years ago. On the 27th of Rajab, 1342 AH, and today is the 27th of Rajab, 1442. On the 27th of Rajab, 1342 after the Hijrah, which corresponds to March of 1924, by a decree of the Parliament of Turkey, under the nationalist leader of by the name of Mustafa Kemal, otherwise known as Ataturk, the office of the Khilafah was abolished. And the last Khalifa of our Ummah, Sultan Abdul Majid II, the 37th Sultan of the Ottoman Empire, and the 21st generation descendant of its founder Usman, went into exile and eventually died in Paris in 1944. This week, this day, the 27th of Rajab, marks the 100th Hijri anniversary of this sad tragedy. A full century has gone by, and it behooves us to remember, to not commemorate, because that's a positive meaning, but to reflect and to ponder and to study and learn both the good and the bad. And obviously, this is a very complex topic that cannot be covered in one khutbah. It is worthy of many, many lectures, and maybe one day, inshallah, myself or somebody will do them. But today's khutbah, I want to most importantly raise public awareness. The vast majority of us don't even know the realities of what happened. To raise public awareness and to create a curiosity, to bring about a sense of, I need to know, how could this tragedy have happened? For 1,350 years we had a Khilafah, and then all of a sudden, between a morning and an evening, it's gone. And now we have been for 100 years without one. What are the lessons to learn? What do I need to teach, especially the next generation, especially my children and your children? They need to know our heritage, our history. They need to know our civilization. And so in today's khutbah, I can only do so much. What I will do is, inshallah, shed some key points, bring about some key points, so that inshallah, the goal is to incentivize us, to motivate us to want to study more. What are the causes of the collapse of the Khilafah, and especially of the Uthmani Khilafah? Many things can be said. Of them, the mismanagement of internal resources and the weakening of the Muslim economy. Of them was, for centuries, a sense of complacency, a sense of not understanding the threat of other superpowers, because once upon a time, as we all like to reminisce, we ruled the world. For 500 years, we were indeed the greatest civilization. But unfortunately, that led to a sense of complacency, a sense of maybe even a little bit of arrogance. And so, from around 1400-1500 onwards, the Muslim lands began to stagnate technologically, and Western civilization began to rise. And there was not a sense of urgency. It really was not, there was not a sense of awareness of the threat of the rising European powers. As well, during this time frame, the technological achievements of the Western worlds began to far surpass those of Muslim lands, and in particular, the Ottoman army. Also, there was the ossification of the religious clergy, and this is an awkward thing, but it needs to be said. There was this sense of closure, we don't need anything else. And that is why there was a sense of, we don't need any technology. I've given an entire lecture about the printing press and why so many scholars did not want the printing press in Muslim lands. That's just an indication of a mindset, if you like. And it is true that some ulama attempted reform, attempted revival. Great thinkers like Rashid Rida, who was very active, the most famous alim 100 years ago was Rashid Rida. May Allah Azza wa Jalla have mercy on him. But it was too little, too late. And so what happened, happened. Another major reason for the collapse of the Ottoman Empire was the fact that global superpowers began playing around with Muslim politics. They began eyeing Muslim lands with direct colonization, like the British in India, like the French in Egypt, in Algeria, or with indirect tinkering, like they did with the Ottoman lands. And so European superpowers, France, Germany, England, Russia, they all began to try to influence local politics within the Ottoman lands, and the Muslims became a plaything, like a piece of chess on a vicious board that was way beyond their pay grade, way beyond their understanding. And unfortunately, perhaps the greatest catalyst, they were lured into a global war that we now called World War I. They were lured into a global war even though they didn't have to take part. They were made promises, they were dangled with incentives, and so they took sides in a global war that had nothing to do with them. And unfortunately, it's Allah's qadr, they chose the wrong side. They chose the losing side. They chose to side with Germany against the Allied forces, against England and the other superpowers. And so when Germany collapsed, because Germany lost World War I, when Germany collapsed, then obviously the European powers were able to invade Muslim lands directly. Allied forces invaded and conquered Baghdad, the capital of the Abbasid Empire. British forces entered Baghdad in the early part of this century, of the last century. And then they entered Jerusalem, and they conquered Jerusalem. And then eventually they entered Istanbul and deposed the Ottoman Sultan. But it wasn't an outsider. It was not an outsider that abolished the caliphate. No. What is so painful, and this shows us that we have enemies from within, just like we have enemies from without. What is so painful was that the actual abolishment of the Khilafah came at the hands of somebody who was born in a Muslim family and given a Muslim name. And perhaps the most painful, the name he was given was a name that also belonged to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I mean by this Mustafa Kemal, who is called Ataturk. And he was the one who instigated the official abolishment of the Khilafah 100 years ago today. The results were catastrophic, to say the least. So much can be said. Firstly, and there's no doubt this is the biggest of them, the loss of an institution that had been continuously operating from the beginning of Islamic civilization. An institution that was put into place by no one less than our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The institution of a global authority, the institution of a figurehead that is going to lead all of the Muslim empire, and that is of the Khilafah. Agreed, it wasn't a perfect institution. Yes, it had its ups and downs, and we had bad khalifas and we had good khalifas. But it was something. And it was something that we could rightfully take pride in. It was a symbol of a civilization, our civilization. A symbol of a political force, our political force. Throughout 13 and a half centuries, many dynasties came and went. Many dynasties rose and fall, and they took over the status of the Khilafah, the Umayyads, the Abbasids, the Mamluks, the Seljuks, the Ottomans. But there was always a continuous Khalifa from the time of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu up until 100 years ago. There was a continuous Khalifa, maybe different backgrounds, different regions, different names, but there was indeed a Khalifa for our faith and our civilization. And regardless of the calamities that took place, and how many have they been, perhaps of the greatest of the calamities in our history was the advent of the Crusades, and perhaps the second worst tragedy, politically speaking, after the collapse of the Khilafah was the invasion of the Mongols, Hulagu Khan, the grandson of Genghis Khan, attacking Baghdad and bringing the Abbasid Khilafah to an end in 1258. But even that, the Khilafah was revived under the Mamluks, and it lasted for a century or two before the Ottomans took it over. Even the collapse of Baghdad, which was indeed very traumatic, did not bring the Khilafah to an end. All of this happened only 100 years ago. So this is the first of many, many negatives. The second negative that resulted is a reality that we're all living with as we sit here right now. A reality that was unknown 200 years ago, 300 years ago, 1,000 years ago. It is a reality that every one of us sitting here is not just aware of, we are involved with. And that is nation states. In the pre-modern times, Muslims identified with their faith and then with a broad ethnic group, their language, their culture, The concept of dividing imaginary lines between people who shared the same heritage, the same language, the same cuisine, the same ethnicity was non-existent. But with the collapse of the Khilafah and with the carving up of the Ottoman Empire, in particular with that infamous treaty known as the Sykes-Picot Agreement, and I want every one of you to study this agreement. There's a Wikipedia page or there's a YouTube tutorial for high school students. It's enough for us to understand. Two Western ambassadors, one French and one British, literally sat down, Sykes and Picot, between a map of the Middle East, and they negotiated and they bartered and they fought over where they would draw the lines to divide the pie. The pie, our pie. You know when kids come and they fight over the pie, the parent comes and has to cut it up? That's exactly what happened with the Sykes-Picot Agreement. That pie was our ummah. It was a map of our, and literally we have the original. You can Google it. We have the original map that Sykes and Picot are fighting over. And they decide this is the border of Syria. This is the border of Lebanon. This is the border of Palestine. This is the border of Iraq. And those borders are exactly the borders that we're still having to this day. Imaginary lines between people of the same background, same religion, same ethnicity. And now what happens? We are all at war with one another. كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ This person hates that person. This person is bombing the other person. And we have the same God and the same heritage and the same religion and the same Qibla. The concept of nation state was brought in by outsiders and then handed to us. And now all of us, we are caught up in that wave as well. The third negative of the collapse of the Khilafah, and it is indeed a painful negative, was that it paved the way for the loss of Palestine and the brutal occupation of that region by the only remaining apartheid regime in the world today. The Sykes-Picot Agreement and then the Balfour Declaration were both instrumental in the destruction and the displacement of our Palestinian brothers and sisters, and the substitution of local residents of that land, residents that had lived there for 2,000 years, since before the coming of Jesus Christ, the same people lived there. Their fates might have changed, but it's that ethnicity. But because of the collapse of the Khilafah and World War I and the Sykes-Picot Agreement and the Balfour Declaration, those people that lived there for thousands of years were shepherded into refugee camps, bombed and killed, and then immigrants brought in from Russia, from Europe, immigrants that spoke a different language, had a different background, belonged to a different faith. And then this country came, which is the only apartheid country that still remains alive to this day. And this is because, once again, of the collapse of the Khilafah. Fourthly, another negative that resulted was that it resulted, this isn't fully a negative, there's also some positives here, is that it resulted in different movements and revivalistic attempts across the globe. The collapse of the Khilafah resulted directly in thinkers attempting to revive the ummah. What is to be done? And so many global movements came about as a result of this. And we're all familiar with them. The Ikhwan, Jamaat-e Islami, the Tahrir, all of these movements are a direct result of the collapse of the Khilafah. And they're all attempting to do something, i.e. bring about their own versions of it. And these revivalistic movements created a ripple effect across the globe. Alhamdulillah, much of it is positive, but we learn from the past. Also in India, a movement sprang up called the Khilafat movement. And that Khilafat movement, it was one of the main catalysts, not the only, one of the main catalysts for the eventual creation of the nation state of Pakistan. This is the direct result of the collapse of the Khilafah, believe it or not. Because many of those that were involved in the Khilafat movement, when that fizzled out, they then jumped on to a new idea, a new project, and that project was the creation of the nation state of Pakistan. And the last point I want to mention, and again, this is such a summary, so much needs to be said. The last point I want to mention for our khutbah is that the collapse of the Khilafah, it caused an intellectual and even a religious crisis across the Muslim globe. Thinkers were literally in shock. They couldn't imagine a civilization of our faith without an icon that represents the faith. How can you have a civilization of Islam without a land of Islam? That has never happened since the time of Medina. Never. And it sent ulama across the globe into a type of shock. And questions began to be asked. And these questions don't have easy answers. In fact, we are still negotiating them to this day. What is the future of a land of Islam? What is the future of Islam without a land of Islam? What is the future of a civilization without a caliphate that is supposed to be the symbol of that civilization? What does it mean to be a Muslim in modernity? How do we navigate our conflicting loyalties when we have these nation states and we have the ummah? And these are questions and controversies that are still shaping our discourses to this day. We haven't even answered all of these questions. Or I should say, the answers that are being attempted, they are not satisfactory to every single Muslim. And again, much can be said, but time is always limited. The abolishment of the Khilafah 100 years ago today is a topic that every single one of us, without exception, needs to study and learn lessons from. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me and you with and through the Qur'an. And may He make us of those who its verses they understand and applies halal and haram throughout our lifespan. I ask Allah's forgiveness. You as well ask Him for His the Ghafoor and the Rahman. Alhamdulillah. All praise is due to Allah, the One and the Unique. It is He alone that we worship. And it is His blessings that we seek. He is the Lord of the oppressed and the one who answers the dua of the weak. Indeed, dear Muslims, the collapse of the Khilafah was a shock of the highest magnitude. Many of our ulama of the time frame and many thinkers, and especially our enemies, they literally thought this was the end of the religion of Islam as they knew it. Many thought it was the end of the times. Yet alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, 100 years have gone by and the ummah is still alive and healthy. The ummah is strong and powerful in its own way, not in the way that it maybe would have been. Look around you. If you know the history of the last century, it is very true to point out that in the immediate generation after the collapse of the Khilafah, in the 40s and 50s and 60s, there is no doubt that overall religiosity suffered and religious thought really did seem to wane. It was affected. But 80s, 90s, and now this generation, there is no question that there has been a resurgence of the highest order. There is a powerful revival underway. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are seeing the effects of this revival. We are seeing raw iman across the globe, from Alaska to Zambia, from China all the way to the coast of South America. Everywhere we look at, we find Muslim communities thriving in the circumstances that they could never have imagined 3 centuries ago, 1 century ago. Places where even in this land now, mosques are flourishing in so many cities. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Every single major city of the globe, masjids are being constructed. Mosques are jam-packed every single Friday and every single prayer of Taraweeh in Ramadan, as will our masjid inshallah and all masjids across the globe. This was not the case in the 40s and 50s and 60s. Read the books of history. We are seeing the revival, a global awakening of the spirit of Islam, which is pure iman. It's not based upon civilization. It's not based upon politics. It is based in genuine faith in our Lord, belief in our Quran, love of our Prophet. And the reason for this, dear Muslims, the reason for this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to preserve not the Khilafah, the religion. Allah promised to preserve this religion until the day of judgment. Nothing will destroy the iman in the hearts of you and me. The Khilafah can come and go, and we are sad. Wallahi, we are sad. It is a tragedy of the highest magnitude. And we wish there was some type of land that we could call a land of Islam. But even if there is no land of Islam, Islam exists in me and you. And no one, no superpower on earth, no civilization outside of our own can bring that to an end. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. This is the promise of Allah. The deen shall remain. يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم ويأبى الله إلا أن يتم نوره. The nur of Allah will shine from coast to coast, from land to land, and nothing can ever extinguish this. What we learn, dear Muslims, is that indeed we've had an amazing, amazing history. And our Muslim children, especially the next generation, need to be taught about our beautiful religion and about our glorious past. But they need to be told that our past is human. Our history is human. It is our faith that is divine. Our history is human. You're going to find the good and the bad, the positive and the negative. But even in that human history, because our faith is divine, we had and we continue to have, even if we don't have a khilafah, the most magnificent civilization that the world has ever seen. That is the message that we need to tell our children. The religion of Islam is alive and flourishing, and it will continue to be alive and continue to flourish until the day of judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who protect and preserve it and pass it down to our children. Allahumma inni da'in fa'aminu. Allahumma la tad'a fi hadha al-yawmi dhanban illa ghafarta, wa la hamman illa فرجت ولا دينا إلا قضيت ولا مريضا إلا شفيت ولا عسيرا إلا يسرت اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فاشغله بنفسه وجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز عباد الله إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه فقال عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صلِّ وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين عباد الله إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروا يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر وأقم الصلاة
يا من أجبت دعاء نوح فانتصر وحملته في فلكك المشحون يا من أحال النار حول خليله روحا وريحانا